Just to get into the headspace over here of been ruminating over these things for a while, and to be honest with you, I was thinking I was gonna speak about something completely different, which maybe at some point we will speak about. But this came to me literally on Motzei Shabbat, this idea, and I wanted to hash it out. So the Midrash Rambah in Vayikra on Parshas Achrinos. There's a long series of drashos on Tehillim Chof Zion, Hashem Ori V'Yishi. So Im Tachane Olai Machane. If my enemies come and make an encampment around me, Lo Yira Libi. So says the Midrash, Hashem Ori V'Rosh Hashanah. Hashem is my light on Rosh Hashanah. V'Yishi and my salvation B'Yom HaKippurim. Im tachane alai machane, im ba Samael, im machanehu. If this being, right, sometimes referred to as the Satan, sometimes referred to as the Yetzer Hara, this being that encompasses, it embodies rather the root of all negativity and self-destructive force in the world. If they come and if he comes and brings his whole army encampment to destroy me, lo yira libi, I still won't be afraid. There's this idea that on Yom HaKippurim, there is an encampment, so to speak, an encampment of the machane of Samael that comes to challenge a person. It comes to destroy a person. And the goal on Yom HaKippurim is essentially, at a deep level, to not respond in a fearful way to the encampment of Samael. Can you put this behind you quickly? I'm just gonna discard. I'm gonna remove all this from as we go. There's a very interesting teaching that's given over from the Arizal, which you won't find in the Kisvei HaArizal. I think we've mentioned here before. I'm not sure if we mentioned this actually, but we attribute the Kisvei HaArizal to Rav Chaim Vital, because he wrote down all the teachings that he heard from his Rebbe. However, that is explicitly, even according to Rav Chaim Vital, not the sum total of the teachings that were given over by the Arizal. Exactly. Oh, so we did mention it. Okay. Oh, I told you. Okay, fine. So now I'll tell everyone else. Rav Chaim Vital writes in a letter, he says, I am part of a Chabura that learns with the Arizal, but I know that there are other Chaburas in the city, but they keep them a secret. People in every chabura aren't allowed to tell each other. And I heard that down the street from me, there's another chabura, but I'm not sure. So there were other chaburas. Only Rav Chaim Vital was the one that produced all the writings of the Arizal that we associate with Kisvei HaArizal today. But the Talmidim of the Arizal, known as the Gurei HaArizal, like the lion cubs, right? The Ari, the lion, and the cubs, the lion cubs, they were... there was quite a large group of these people. So it's very possible that these teachings that we don't find in the Kisvei HaArizal were given down through other channels. And one of these teachings that are given over, okay, which we find in many books of the Talmidim of the HaArizal and their Talmidim, is on Yom Kippurim, the name Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim, Yom Kippurim. It is a day that is similar to Purim. Now, there is no elaboration on what the significance of this is. What is the deep significance of this comparison between these 2 days of Yom HaKippurim and Purim? But, as we shall see, that there is, in fact, a very powerful connection between these 2 days. Very, very strong connection between these 2 days. And we will unpack all 3 points of contact between these 3 days, and hopefully to come to a better understanding of what exactly is going on Yom HaKippurim. Connection number one. Both of these days are days of Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah. The Luchos were received on Yom HaKippurim. And as we will see, Kabbalah Satorah, as Chazal talk about in the Gemara and Shabbat, right, there was a re-national, re-accepting of the Torah of sorts that was akin to the Sinai experience. That's similarity number one. And we're going to unpack each one of these points, but just to give a review. Similarity number two, tshuva. Yom HaKippurim is tshuva. As the mitzvah saseh, as the Rambam says, mitzvah saseh, to do tshuva on Yom HaKippurim. This is the day of tshuva. And indeed, on Yom HaKippurim, on Purim, there was a nationwide tshuva effort in order to make sure that the decree of Haman would be rescinded. Tshuva is a very, very powerful theme, and to this day we have the practice of what is known as Ta'anis Esther, even though, as we all know, it doesn't parallel the date of when Esther called for the national fast, but to connect to this theme of the tshuva that preceded the salvation of Purim, we fast going into Purim. Purim is the opposite of Yom HaKippurim in that way, because on Purim we fast and then we eat, right? On Purim we eat before we fast. Right? But that's just an interesting, interesting switch. But anyway, the tshuva element, and third, what? No, we said that one. Is another one. The third one, these are the two holidays that evolve around a lottery. The two holidays that evolve around a lottery. Yom HaKippurim evolves around a lottery. As the Rambam says in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva, let me just read the Lashon of the Rambam really quickly. Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, Se'ir HaMishtaleach, Lefishu Kapar L'chol Yisrael, is an atonement for the entire Jewish people. Kohen Gadol Mizvada Alav, Aloshen Shel Kol Yisrael, Shenemar Mizvada Alav, Es Kol Avonos B'nei Yisrael. Sira Mishtalech Mechaper Al Kol Ha'aver Shabbatorah, Hakalos V'achamuros. The Kohen Gadol, the climax of the Vidoy, the Vidoy is the theme throughout the whole, because, as we know, the action of Tshuva is to be Mizvada, to verbally articulate a person's shortcomings. And the Kohen Gadol gives a collective vidoy on the Sira Mishtaleach. Sira Mishtaleach Mechaper Al Kol Ha'averos, right? And as I just read this a second ago, the Sira Mishtaleach atones for all the sins in the Torah. Bein Shalavar Bezadon, Bein Shalavar Bishgaga, Bein Shahodalo, Bein Shalohodalo, even the sins that he doesn't even know about. Hakol Mitzkaber B'Sira Mishtaleach. V'hu She'asa Tshuva. And this, says the Rambam, is on condition that the person actually does tshuva. That the individual does tshuva, meaning perush. What does this mean? There is a collective national tshuva that is going on Yom HaKippurim. Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleihem, as the Gemara in Yoma says, otzmo shel yom mechaper. The essence of the day brings about a kapara, but v'hu she'asa tshuva means that the individual decides that he is going to ride the tshuva wave along with everyone else. The Kohen is misvada beloshon rabim, as the Rambam says. He gives over the vidui in the collective language, not just for himself as an individual. He does for himself. The Kohen does vidui for himself on the Par Kohen Gadol. That's something else. But on the Sira Mishtaleach, he's misvada for the entire Jewish people collectively. At that moment, it's the full intensity of the whole tshuva of the Jewish people being focused on that one avoda. And every single individual Jew can ride that wave if they do tshuva as an individual. They can ride that wave. Excuse me?
Sorry, I missed the beginning part. Did you say simcha also?
Simcha?
Yeah.
I didn't say anything about simcha. Well, that's not. I wouldn't say that it's unique to Purim and Yom HaKippurim, because it's a mitzvah to have simcha on other holidays as well. These are things that are unique to Purim and Yom HaKippurim. Three explicit links that we find unique on Yom HaKippurim and on Purim. And I want to delve into these things, and as we'll see, these are really three sides, not two sides, three sides of the same coin. They're all the same thing. All the same things going on. Yes, there could be a three-sided coin. Three-sided coin, okay? So I want to start off with this. Okay, I want to start off first with the pasuk. Well, not the pasuk. We're going to go through this parak of Tehillim. This is Tehillim Tes Zayin. Michtam le David shamrini el ki chasisi bach. Guard me because I have faith in you. Excuse me. Sorry. The kedoshim asher ba'aretz hema v'adirei kol chetzi bach. All of my hope and all of my yearnings are to you and to the righteous people that came before me. Yirbu atzvosam acher maharu balasich niskei midamu balasash mosam asfasai. I'm just going to paraphrase the psukim quickly so we can get through this. Because I will not participate in any of the offerings or any of the avoda associated with these other forces, okay, outside of worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not even going to mention their names. I'm not even going to mention the names of these foreign forms of worship. Hashem menas chelki v'chosi. God is my chelek. Ata tomich gorali. You provide my goral. Chavalim nofluli bani'imim. The chavalim that fall to me are pleasant to me. What's chavalim? What does chavalim mean in this context?
It's inheritance.
Exactly. Nachon. Chevel. Like chevel Hashem amo. Like the chevel of Hashem is his nation. Chevel. Why chevel, by the way? Because when you measure a portion of land, you do it with a chevel, right? That's where that term, that's where that idea comes from. On the pshat level, that's where it comes from, right? Chevel Hashem no, af nachalos shafra alai, and my nachala is pleasant to me. Here, David HaMelech lists, in the course of the two psukim, every single possible term. We see this method, by the way, in Tehillim. I'm just saying this in parentheses. This is important to know. See this. This is a device used in Tehillim specifically, where David HaMelech wants to drive a point home, and he will use every single possible permutation of the word in order to make sure that the point is not being missed. So we see this, for example, just as an example, in Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes, which is the longest chapter in Kisvei HaKadosh, by the way, okay, 177 psukim, if not mistaken, which all talking about the greatness of what? The greatness of Talmud Torah. The great Torah specifically, but also Talmud Torah, okay? The greatness of Torah. And you see the psukim, they oscillate back and forth using all the different terminologies you could possibly use to refer to mitzvos, okay? Mitzvos, Torosecha, Pekudecha, Chukecha. It's just a rolling list, so to speak, of all the different possible terminologies.
Do you think it's purely poetic, or trying to draw David on a point, or do you think it's more of every time he actually meant that specific thing, and it was a result of Ruach HaKodesh?
Well, what does that mean?
So the Malbim would go and actually say like
Inochanami, yes. Yes.
A lot of people will say it's poetic, and it's therefore not really trying to give over something. And a lot of people like you may die in each one.
Well,
the difference between each word and how.
Well, what does that mean? It's not trying to give over something. I don't know if. In the context of the flow of the psukim, I don't know if every single term is there in order to give something that's contextually relevant. But what I will say for sure is true is that each one of the terms does connote a different thing, a different aspect. For sure, they're not just alternative terms for the same thing.
But the reason why he brought them wasn't for that other reason. But
not necessarily. They're not necessarily necessary for the context. Not necessarily.
If it was written with Ruach HaKodesh, then it would.
Of course, it was written with Ruach HaKodesh.
But the
need determined by the Ruach HaKodesh doesn't need to be. For the progression from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Beis. It could just be that it's necessary to bring there all of the different aspects of this thing. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say here in the context of our discussion. That's what I'm trying to say. David HaMelech is emphasizing this theme of the goral, the chelek, the portion, my appointed part, or my appointed portion. The thing that's meant for me. That's what he's trying to drive home.
There definitely is that overall understanding of try to both. I don't think they necessarily have to contradict each other. There's one is he's trying to drive the point home, and at the same time
they don't contradict each other.
Simultaneously,
they don't.
Every,
they don't.
You could be nigh to every single one of those.
They don't contradict each other. I don't want to get too sidetracked on this, but they don't contradict each other. I would just say that not necessarily all the time are the different terms being used for a point that's contextually necessary. It could just be in order to bring all the different aspects of a specific thing in that puzzle. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is that the point that David is honing in on is that this is my appointed portion. This is the portion that's meant for me. It's meant for me. It's mine. It's unique for me. God gave me a chelek. He carved out a chevel for me, a nachala, and he appointed that for me. He appointed this thing for me. And my chelek is Hashem. And therefore, I don't want anything to do with anything outside of that. I'm not even going to mention the names of these foreign entities. This idea that, just to understand, what does the word goral mean in Lashon HaKodesh? Goral could mean the activity, like a lottery. A lottery is a thing. It's an institution, a process. You have a lottery. But it could also mean the actual piece of the thing, the portion that you get that's determined by the lottery. Do you understand the distinction? Let's say you have a lottery that you have a huge basket and there's a bunch of little cards in the basket. Okay? So the lottery is the process involved in putting all the cards together in the basket and drawing a card for everyone. That's one connotation of goral, the process. But the goral is also the piece of paper that you pick out of the basket. That's your goral. And that's what David is saying here. He says, my goral, the piece of paper that I picked out of the basket, is Hashem. That's my goral. My goral is this. This is my goral. Yeah? Yes.
So historically, isn't this like the... It does have to do.
Maybe in the henshach of the conversation will become more relevant why it was necessary to divide the land with a goral. The point that we're trying to say here is that a goral, the idea of a goral, is that it seems random. That's the function of a goral. In fact, the other time in the Torah where we find that a goral was mandated, what's the other time in Sefer Yehoshua where we had a goral mandated by Hashem? To find who was the guy that stole from Yericho. Now, just at the pshat level, why was that necessary? Because they didn't want to have any misgiving. They didn't want to have any doubt as to who was the real culprit. If Yehoshua had stood up and said, "Yeah, God told me he's the guy. Go kill him," there would have been room for suspicion. So in order to show everyone, and the Gemara even elaborates, it says there's a whole thing. First, they had the heads of the tribes walk before the Aron, yeah, and the head of the tribe that walked in front of the Aron and couldn't move. He was like stuck. So that was the indication that it was him. So when the head of Shevet Yehuda walked in front of the Aron, he was like trapped between the bottom. He couldn't move. So that was, you know, one, like step one of Nes. And then they took Shevet Yehuda, they took all the families of Shevet Yehuda and put them in a goral, and, you know, Achan's family came up, and then Achan himself came up. So it was like this series of miracles, so to speak, to show that Achan was the real guy. Okay? So that's one reason for a goral. But looking more deeply into a goral, the idea is that it seems completely random. On the one hand, it's completely random. Okay? But on the other hand, it is the device used to show that this is what it is supposed to be. It is supposed to be this and not that. This and not that. This is what it's supposed to be. In fact, that's how a goral is used in the Torah. From the story, for example, the story that we saw from Achan. It wasn't random. It wasn't like, oh, well, we need to kill some guy, so let's just draw lots, and whoever draws the short straw will kill him. No, it was meant to show that this is the guy. This is the guilty guy. That's what a goral... So a goral looks random, but when the Torah uses it, it's the opposite of random. It's to show that this is the only thing that it could possibly have been. It couldn't have been anything else. It had to be this. It had to be this. And this is the point of David HaMelech. The Hashem is my goral. It can't be any other way. It's my nachla. It's my chevel. It's my goral. This is it. It can't be any other way. Looking at the process of the Seir HaMishtaleach and the Seir LaAzazel, it's a very strange thing, incredibly strange thing. We have holidays where there are multiple karbonos that we all have to bring. Okay, okay. You have to bring the shlamim, you have to bring the chatas, you have to bring the ola, you have to bring seven types of olas, seven types of chatos, yeah, different types of animals. How do you choose which animal is going to be what? You say, I want this animal to be the chatas, I want that one to be the ola. There's no goral. There's no lottery. Let's say do the lottery. Just say, okay, you have to bring a Sir Lazazel. You have to bring a Sir Lashem. Choose one. Choose which one's going to go to the mountain, which one's going to go to the Mizbech. What's this idea of a Goral that Pitom you have to choose? But you have to choose between the Goral and the... Excuse me. You have to use a Goral in order to choose, in order to differentiate between Lazazel and the Mizbech. This is very strange. However, Ha Gufa Rabosai, this is what it's bringing up. It's saying that there's something inherent on Yom HaKippurim that we're showing that there is a Nachala LaHashem, there is a portion that a person is onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Chelek of Klal Yisrael, collectively, again, as the Rambam says, the Siyar Mishtalech is the collective tshuva of the entire Jewish people in one moment. And that is being Megaled, is revealing the fact that God is your portion. God is the portion of Klal Yisrael. And if you, as an individual, want to be mitzarif to that, want to join that process, you can do it. You can ride along on Goral Echad LaHashem. That there is a Goral to Hashem. And Hashem Gorali. Hashem Gorali. You can choose to be mitzarif to that. I want to read a very fascinating thing from, you find in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer in Perek Chaf Tes. In these prakim of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, it lists and expounds upon every single one of the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. I think it starts from Perek Chaf Gimel, I think. And expounds upon them and gives context to them. Right? Not all of the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu are listed in the Kisvei HaKodesh. Some of them are outside the Kisvei HaKodesh. They predate the Kisvei HaKodesh. But anyway, Nisayon Hashmini, the eighth Nisayon of Avram Avinu, Vayi Avram ben Tishim Shana v'Teisha Shanim, Avram was 99 years old, Amar LaKodesh Baruch Hu, Hisalech Lefonai Ve'yeh Tamim. Be Tamim with me. Tamim. Amar LaKodesh Baruch Hu, Ad Achshav Lo Yisa Tamim Lefonai. You weren't Tamim with me. You were not Tamim. Elamol Basar Arlasecha Me'alecha V'Hisalech Lefonai Ve'yeh Tamim. Only after you go through this process of the Bris Milah can you be Tamim. Okay? It's interesting, by the way, that Rabbi Gamliel says that who was the Mohel? Who is the, right? It's mashma the Pshat of the Psukim that Avraham Avinu was Mohel himself. That's what it seems to say. But Rabbi Gamliel says, Shalach v'kar l'shem ben Noach, who mo es basar or lasso. He asked shame to be the Mohel for him and for his whole household. Or at least for him. It says, right, it seems that Avram would do the mitzvah himself for everyone else. Says the Midrash, Mo be'etzem ayom hazeh. It says that Avraham Avinu was nimol, has bris milah be'etzem ayom hazeh. Mo be'etzem ayom hazeh, begvuras Hashem es b'chasi ayom. In the middle of the day. Right. They ask, the question is brought up by Tosfos in Pesachim, he says, why did they wait till the middle of the day? He's using Makdimim the mitzvahs. It seems to be, and this is my answer, that Avraham Avinu wanted to display this. Right? By the Akedah is the opposite, right? He kept it as silent as possible. He got up early in the morning, the two of them went alone, even the two people that come with them to help them, he leaves them at the foot of the mountain. It's very, very tsanua. But the Bris Milah he wanted to do Barabim, before Hesya. So he waited Dafka to the middle of the day in order to make this known. So anyway.
Where you get it from is from Avram by the Akedah. That's why you should do it because you're using Akedah.
Yes. That's one of the indications. There's a big machlokas rishonim and achronim. I'll just tell you, if doing the mitzvah in a higher quality overrides zusim makdimim, there's a very common minug that, for example, this is just a very very good example of the custom to wait until motzei Shabbat to do birkas halavana. That's a very common practice. Okay. The Trumas HaDeshen brings that he wants to bring a raya from the Gemara in Yevamos that to do a mitzvah in a higher quality overrides Zrizim Makdimim. Meaning, if I could do the mitzvah in a better way later on, you can wait. You can wait to do it, which seems like a sound svara, yeah? So why do we wait to Motzei Shabbat? Because there's an idea that Birkas HaLavana, right? You're Mekabel Panei Hashchina, and you should have nice clothes on. You should have nice clothes on, exactly. Right. So that's an idea. The Gra was very against this. The Gra was very, very against it. It says, no, Zrizim Makdimin is a fundamental yesod, and if you do the mitzvah, you do it right away. Don't say, oh, well, I'll do it in a week, I can do it slightly better. No, you do it now. So it's just an interesting idea that, right, we see from here, it could very well be that Avraham intentionally waited till the middle of the day in order to do the mitzvah in a more pronounced fashion. Anyway, Yesh La'ayim is it. Tov. Bigvuras Hashemesh. Velo od. Listen, okay? Says the Midrash. Velo od. Ela osya etzem miyom kipurim. We learn a gezerah shava. Etzem hayom hazeh to etzem hayom hazeh by yom kipurim.
Three times, right?
Ma lahalon. Vecho malacha lo ta'asu be'etzem hayom hazeh. It says by yom kipurim, you will not do any form of malacha in the etzem hayom hazeh. Ki yom kipurim hu. Shebi yom kipurim nimol Avraham. That it was on Yom Kippurim that Avraham Avinu did his bris mila. V'chol shana v'shana HaKadosh Baruch Hu roe dam habris shel mila shel Avraham Avinu u'mechaper al kol avonoseinu. He sees the blood from the mila of Avraham and he is mechaper. Sheneemar ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem v'tar eschem. U'b'oso mokom, and on that spot that Avraham Avinu did his bris mila, v'nishar damo shom nivna hamizbeach. That's where the mizbeach was built. Ulekach ne'emar, and that's why it says in the pasuk in Vayikra, "Ves kol damo yishpoch el yisod hamizbeach," that you will pour all the blood of the karbanos onto the yisod of the mizbeach. Anyone familiar with the mystical construct, by the way, of the different parts of the body and what they relate to, understands that this is not stam, that it says that the blood will be spilled on the yisod hamizbeach.
Yisod is the
Eben. Nachon. The Yisod, the foundation of the Mizbeach. And this idea, I'll tell you, I came across this Pirkei Rabbi Elazar very recently, a few days ago, and I remember that my father told me that because I was born on Som Gedalia, that's why I was given that added name of Avram. It's my middle name, Shammai Avram. Since the bris was on Yom Kippurim, So he found out. He was doing some research on Yom Kippur, any connection between Yom Kippurim and Bris Mila. He said Avraham Avinu was Nimol on Yom Kippurim. So that's the connection. Huh?
And your Mila was on Yom Kippur also.
On Yom Kippurim. What does this mean? He salech lefonai ve'yet tamim. The bris of Avraham Avinu was on Yom Kippurim. By the way, the Sfas Emes says that this is the allusion to that this is what is being merumaz when we say in the tefillah in Ne'ilah, v'chosmenu lechayim, that we should receive the chotam for life, ki al brischa shechosamta bivsareinu. This is what's being merumaz there. The chotam that's being given, the stamp, so to speak, God's stamp on our flesh. Okay, just like we have God's stamp on our flesh, we should receive the stamp of life. What is this idea of Avraham Avinu receiving the bris mila, the bris on Yom Kippurim? And this is in a very powerful way, the foundation for the kapara of the whole Jewish people. Let me just put this behind you, thank you. He's halech lefonai veheye tamim. You should be tamim with me. Tamim. What does this mean to be tamim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What it means to be tamim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, first of all, you start off with a certain premise. We have no idea how things will play out. No one has any idea how anything is going to play out. No one. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how things are going to play out in the world. We intentionally have a very, very limited awareness of the world, we have almost no access to the future, almost no access. Okay, and the idea of walking tamim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that you are really walking tamim with anything. It means that you are committed to something without knowing the end results. That's what it means to be tamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, "He's halech lefonai, walk with me and be tamim. Be tamim with me. You don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea what's going to happen. You have no idea how anything's going to play out." Avraham Avinu is giving these vague descriptions of even the prophecies that Avraham Avinu is given are very vague in general, without any details at all about what's gonna be. He's told, yes, you're gonna be Morish the Aretz. Your children are going to inherit the land, and your children are gonna be in servitude for a certain amount of time. But in terms of how and what matter this is going to play out, these things are not clear at all. Not clear at all. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I need you to be tamim with me. I need you to be tamim in that I need you to be committed, even though you have no idea how these things are going to play out. No idea. I need you to be tamim. And when a person is, and the act of being tamim means to go all in. Going all in. The bris milah is the act, is acting out of us being all in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we said a second ago, the yesod, the foundation of a person at every level, physically, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, is this part of the body. This represents all the potential output, the creative output, the constructive output of a human being is embodied in this part of the person's flesh. And the idea that there is a bris, a covenant between Klal Yisrael and each individual member of the Jewish people, it is done on this part of the body in order to connote, in order to express and embody in every possible way, in the most powerful way, that every single person is all in. And that is the tmimut. That's hisalech lefonai ve'yet tamim. If you want to be tamim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means you're all in. Every single part of you is given over to this process. Rabosai, the act of a goral. What is the act of a goral? We saw clearly that a goral is meant to show not a random outcome. On the contrary, it's meant to show what must be. There's no other option other than this. This is the only possible option. It had to be this way. But the act of the goral, when a person does a goral before Hashem, what is he doing? He's giving over all of the possibilities to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he's doing. When a person takes the basket and he puts all the possibilities into the basket and stands before the Mizbeach, and he says, here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are all the possible options. I'm going to pick one. I'm going to pick an option. And the option that you put in my hand, that's what we're going to go with. The act of the goral is acting out this process of giving everything over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and waiting for the one thing to manifest itself. And that thing that comes up, you run with. You run with that. And it's this act that embodies the act of tshuva on Yom HaKippur. Tehillim Tes Zayin, where David says that God is my goral, God is my chelek, God is my nachala, I have no relevance to anything else, I won't even mention the names of anyone else, because God is the only thing relevant to me. How does this start off? Michtam l'David. This is a michtam that David wrote. What is a michtam? What's a michtam? Say Chazal in the Midrash Shulchan Aruch, and Rashi brings this in the beginning of the Perek. Michtam, ksiva tama, ksiva shel tmimut. Shel tmimut. This is a writing of tmimus, of the hishalech lefonai ve'yet tamim. This is how I am tamim. David is saying, listen, I'm all in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm all in. I have no relevance to this guy, no relevance to that guy. I'm not going to participate in any of the karbonos avodah zarah. I'm not even going to mention their names, etc. I'm all in with you. You're my chelek. You're my nachala. You're my all. This is the michtav. This is the letter of tmimut with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The letter of tmimut. Tmimut means God is my goral. Zeu. God's my goral. He said to... We see Rabosai, this theme again. We started off with the comparison between Yom HaKippurim and Purim. We see in the Gemara and Shabbat, Daf Pekas, Kofa aleihem HaKadosh Baruch Hu hahar kegigas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted up the mountain upon the Jewish people and basically threatened them with death. He says, Im tekablu et haTorah mutav. If you receive the Torah, great. V'im lav, sham tia kvuraschem. If not, then you're all going to be buried here. I'm going to bury you alive under the mountain. Says Rava, Rezu modah rabba laraisa. This undermines the receiving of the Torah a lot, because it's basically saying God threatened them. Says the Gemara, Ela shakimu, Ela shi hodar v'kiblua b'yimei Achashverosh. They received the Torah again in the time of Achashverosh. As it says, kimu v'kiblua yehudim. They received and they established. Says the Gemara, kimu, they established, masha kiblu m'sinai, that which they had already received at Sinai. What is it saying, Rabosai? Listen to this. This is very, very powerful. And the Maral has a long arichos on this in the Hagdama to Or Chadash, but this is inspired by what he says over there. Purim was basically saying, we recognize the hechrechiyut, the absolute necessity of that which we received at Sinai. What was the whole point of being Kofal Yama HaKigigis? As the Maral points out, they had already said Naaseh V'Nishma at that point. They had already agreed to receive the Torah. What was the point of holding the mountain over their head and threatening them? Says the Maral, it was to show the hechrechiyut, it was to show the absolute necessity of the Torah. He says, okay, it's great that you accepted it, but don't think that you accepting it is the reason that you're accepting it. You're accepting it because it's absolutely necessary that you accept it. It can't be any other way. It can't be any other way. And on Purim, Hadar v'kiblua b'imei HaShverosh was the Jewish people coming to the understanding that that is in fact the case. There can't be any other way. This is the only way it's possible. That's the Hadar v'kiblua b'imei HaShverosh. The tshuva element that comes out on Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Dalet. Vayasa HaMelech es Tabaso. The king takes off his signet ring and gives it to Haman and says, yeah, do whatever you want, decree whatever you want on these people. Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Gedola Hasaras Tabas, the removal of Achashverosh's ring was greater, Yoser Me'arbaim Ushmona Neviyim V'Sheva Neviyos Shenisnabalem L'Yisrael, was greater than the 48 prophets and 70 prophetesses that gave prophecy to the Jewish people. Shakulan lo echziron lemutav, because all these prophets were unable to bring about tshuva. V'ilasaras tabas echziron lemutav. But that one act did kick them into gear. It did bring them back, their heads back into the game. And made them do tshuva. Bosai, the Rambam paskins in Perek Zion of Hilchos Tshuva. Unbelievable thing. The Rambam paskins. In Perek Zion, you'll notice that there's no mefarshim on Perek Zion. All the prophets came to command the Jewish people on tshuva. They are not redeemed only through tshuva. God, the Torah promised that the Jewish people will do tshuva. They will do it. And they will be redeemed. They will do tshuva, and they will do, and they will be redeemed. All these things, says Moshe. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, will befall you. Habracha, the haklala, asher nasati lefanecha, the curse and the blessing, the hashevosa elavavecha, and you will return to your hearts, b'chol agoyim asher dichacha Hashem elokecha shama. V'shavta ad Hashem elokecha. This will happen. Hivticha Torah, sheyasu tshuva, umiyad hen yigalim. Where does the Rambam get this? How does the Rambam know that what's the makor of the Rambam, that the Jewish people will for sure do tshuva, and they will be redeemed? He gets it from a Gemara in Sanhedrin, a very Gemara in Sanhedrin, machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar. If the Jewish people will be redeemed without tshuva, or if they require tshuva in order to be redeemed. Rabbi Yehoshua says, Im Yisrael osin tshuva, nigolin. V'im lav, ein nigolin. They're not redeemed unless they do tshuva. Rabbi Yeshua says, Im ein osin tshuva, ein nigolin. How can that possibly be? Meaning, the Torah says that the Jewish people are going to for sure be redeemed, and tshuva is dependent on the free will of the people. So how can you have a promise of the Torah be dependent on the choice of the Jewish people? Ella, says Rabbi Yeshua, Ella, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamid Lahen Melech Shegzerosav Kashos Kahaman. God will bring about a king who his decrees are as hard as those of Haman HaRasha, the Yisrael Osin Tshuva, and they will do Tshuva, U'machzir and Lamutav, and it will bring them back to their goodness. This is the story of Purim. The whole story of Purim, the whole thing, the whole episode, from start to finish, was to show, was to bring the Jewish people to an awareness of the hechrechiyut, the absolute necessity of their relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The absolute necessity. It can't be any other way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is their goral. That's their portion. They don't have any other portion. That's it. And they one day, when they realize this, this spurs them to tshuva and hadar v'kiblua. And they accepted again that which they had received at Sinai. The whole point of Sinai was to show this hechrechiyut, this absolute necessity of receiving the Torah. And during the time of Purim, they understood this. They came to this understanding. And this is why the holiday is called Purim. You might think, why name the holiday after the device of the arch villain that he used in order to destroy us? Why name the holiday after that? Because Hagufa Rabosai, this is the whole point. The whole point is that that goral that Haman thought that he was using to destroy the people ended up being the indicator of what the whole thing was for to begin with. The goral was not the goral to which day I'm going to destroy the Jewish people. That was never going to happen. That wasn't on the agenda to begin with. The goral was to show which day is going to be the day where the Jewish people chap. Hashem menas chelki v'chosi, Hashem tomich gorali. That's the day. And that's why we call it Purim. Purim. It's the goral. It's the day that proves the goral. Bosai, there's this the dynamic of a goral. The dynamic of a goral, of again, giving over all of the full range of possibilities. This is literally, technically the case in a goral, in a lottery. What do you do, technically? You have all the options, all the possibilities. You gather them all together. You give them over. It's not choosing one. You don't choose which option you think is the best. That's not what you do. It defeats the purpose of a goral if you do that. You don't pick one.
That's the Isser, no? The Isser of the Torah, where it's like when you say your bread fell from your mouth, pito, right? You saw a deer, or you saw something run. I guess, right? There was they give examples in the Torah. Rashi gives examples in the Gemara. This is in the Torah about things you're not allowed to do. It's in a few parts of the Gemara.
You're talking about nichush.
Yeah.
Nichush. Okay, fine. I'm not sure that's the same thing.
The Isser is dafka doing what you said is not. I mean, the difference between this and that is... No?
The point is that a goral, the act of a goral is literally the case of a goral, is taking all the possibilities and say, I'm not going to choose one. I'm giving away, I'm giving up control over all the possibilities. There's no, I'm totally giving up control. Whatever comes out, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and I'm going to go with it. And then when you pick that out, when you pick out that goral, you say, oh, this is the one. There couldn't have been any other way possible other than this. It's the ultimate paradox. You give away the possibility for you to choose. You wait to accept what comes out. And then you say, oh, it couldn't have been any other way. It could not have been any other way. The Gemara in Shabbat says an incredible, incredibly bizarre thing. Almost unfathomable. Cryptic, incredibly cryptic thing. On the Pasuk in Yishayo, in Perek Aleph, that we all know. Pasuk says, come and let's work this out, says God. Let's work this out. Im yu chata'eichem kashonim, kashelet yelbinu. I'm telling you, you can do tshuva. Tshuva works. If your sins are as white as crimson, are as red as crimson, they will be as white as snow. Okay? Says the Gemara. What does that mean? What does this pasuk mean? Im yu chatoechem kashonim. Not shonim like shani, crimson, but shonim like years. Years. Im yu chatoechem kashonim hamasudaros mimaise bereshus. That were ordered from the moment of creation. Kasheleg yelbinu. Then they will be as white as snow. Adkan. That's what the Gemara says. What does that mean? What the hell does that mean? That my sin... this is in the Gemara in Shabbat, and Daf Samach Gimel, if I'm not mistaken. We can look that up just to make sure. It's the Gemara in Shabbat. Totally without any explanation. It's almost like a word game. Kashanim? Like the years that are mesudaros b'maise bereshis? It's a Gemara, right? Rav Tzadok in Tzidkas HaTzadik explains this Gemara. And I think that this is... The Gemara in Yoma famously says, as we all know, Tshuva me'ava, zdonos nasos kizichuyos. A person does tshuva out of love, out of authentic yearning to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to reconnect to his authentic self, and to live in nobility, and to live in authenticity, and to live in goodness. Not only are his sins forgiven, but they become like zchuyos. They become merits for him. How does that work? How do the negative actions, with the Torah explicitly prohibited, the person did them, he committed them, not only you could understand, maybe forgiven, you know, okay, fine, let's sweep it under the rug. But they become merits. Have become merits. Says Rav Tzadok, this is how it works. Like the Gemara in Shabbos says, Imu chatoichem kashanim. Listen to this. This is very important. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the world into being, the full potentiality of what could have been from that moment until the end of time was there at that one moment, just like the full potential of a child is there at the moment of conception. The full range of possibilities are there. They're all there. All of the gorolos are put in the basket at that moment. All of the possibilities are there. They're right there. And then through the course of our life, we play out, we pick this option and this option and this scenario and that scenario, right? The life of a person is basically picking out the pieces of paper from the basket of the goral. I'm going to choose this, I'm going to choose that. Yeah, but all the possibilities were there at that moment. At the moment of creation, all the shanim, all the years were misudaros mimaisa bereshis. They were there at that one moment. Says Yishayahu, if a person decides to make his chatayim, to put the chatayim back into the basket, back into the lottery, to make them as if they were, like in the state that they were at the moment of creation, shemesudaros mimaisa bereshis, kasheleg yelbinu, then they will turn white again. This is this act of the tmimus, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person says, not only am I all in the future, but my past is all in also. I'm giving back everything. Everything that I did, everything that I thought, everything that I regret, I'm putting it all back into the basket. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need a new goral. Let's take all the goralos that I had picked out of the basket until this point, I'm putting them back in the basket. I'm putting them back in. And whatever I pick out, I want it to be the goral LaHashem, and I will run with that. If a person says that authentically, then it's a recalibration of all of my separations in order to redeem all of those actions. Because those goralos become flipped. They become reintegrated into the Seder Maisa Bereshis from the beginning of time. It's going back in time and reintegrating those actions to be redeemed. There's no telling, Rabosai, no telling about what could be, about the power of this act. You know, we know, for example, just as an example, we know the story of Yosef HaTzadik, about how he was an arrogant teenager, right? The Torah makes explicit, he was an arrogant teenager, he made a lot of mistakes. His father reinforced his behavior, his narcissistic behavior. He got his brothers very upset. His brothers went a little too far. Sold him as a slave. Yeah, he's in Mitzrayim. He goes through, 13 years of a less than comfortable experience. And in the end of the day, he ends up saving not only himself, not only his country, but the whole world. And at the end of the story, Yosef says, right, Ki atem lo machartem osi heina. You did not sell me here. You didn't sell me here. Ki Hashem shalachani. God sent me. I wasn't sold here by you. God sent me. Now let me ask you a question, Rabosai. Who made that the reality? Who made the reality that, no, the brothers didn't sell him, God sent me? How did that reality come about? That reality came about by all of the power and strength that Yosef HaTzadik exerted during his time in Mitzrayim. If Yosef HaTzadik had not decided that that was going to be the case, then in Ochanami it would have been that his brothers sold him into slavery and he remained an Egyptian slave his whole life, and that would be it. Yosef HaTzadik's actions made it that way, that God sent him. He sent him to Mitzrayim, as the Pasuk in Tehillim says in Perek Kuf Hei, Sholach lifnehem ish, God sent a man. Le'eved nimkar Yosef. The event of Yosef being sold as a slave, that's what you saw. That's what you saw on the superficial level. But what was really going on was Sholach lifnehem ish. God was sending. He was sending his messenger. That's what was really going on. But that potentiality was dormant. It was dependent on what Yosef would do. Yosef made that switch. He made the Le'eved Nimkar Yosef turn into Shlach Lifnei Amish. He made that happen. If he didn't decide that would be, then it would have been Le'eved Nimkar Yosef. He was sold as a slave and that's it. He would just been another one of the 1,000, Canaanite teenagers that are kidnapped and sold into slavery. That would have been it. Right? But he made it, Sholach Lifnei Amish, that God sent him. He decided. And that's Mesudar, the Chatayim can become like all of the years that were Mesudarim. God had a plan from the moment of creation. From the moment of creation until this point, he had a plan. He had a plan of, this world's going to be great. I'm going to make Adam and Chava. They're going to do exactly what I tell them to. And we're going to be in Gan Eden. It's going to be great. God had this incredible vision. Every single one of our actions can be reintegrated into that. Every single one of our actions can be reintegrated into that. And I want to say, Rabbosai, that this is alluded to in the very pshat of the psukim, of the pasuk that we just quoted in Yishayo. I want you to listen very carefully to the words of the pasuk. Very, very carefully. Very carefully, okay? Im yu chato'echem kashonim kasheleg yelbinu. Translate those words. The pshat translation. Azov the Gemara for a second. Im yu chato'echem kashonim kasheleg yelbinu. If your sins will be like crimson, then... Okay, what will be turned to white? The sins. The sins?
Listen.
What people think is being said is like you have like a white tablecloth, and it's stained. It becomes stained. So don't worry about the stain. We'll wipe it off. We'll fix it. We'll clean it. Tshuva will clean the stain. But that's beferush not what's being said. If your chataim are like crimson, then the chataim will be white. Through tshuva, the chataim will be white. Kasheleg yalbinu, they will be white. What's the day? The chataim. The chataim can become white. The chataim can become white. Yosef decided that this whole family dysfunction, again, of him being a little bit of a clueless, a clueless 17-year-old, little self-absorbed, going too far with the brothers, tattletaling on him, the brothers selling him, and having a little run-in with Ashes Potiphar, all that horrible trauma. He made that white. He turned it from red to white. He turned it, and it could have not been that way. It could have not played out that way. But Yosef made it that way because he reverted back. He reverted back and said, I'm throwing all of those things back into the Goral basket. They're going back into the lottery basket. And then I'm going to pick out something else, and then it's going to be Goral Hashem. Goral Hashem. It's not going to be, right? The Goral Azazel, I'm distinguishing between the Goral Azazel. Right, the Azazel goes to where he goes. It's not relevant to me. As David says, I don't even get to say it. It goes into his place. My Goral is Hashem. My Goral is Hashem. I'm just going to end off with one small ha'ara, which I think we've mentioned before in different contexts. In Sefer Yonah, which we read on Yom Kippurim, which is kind of obvious why we read the Sefer Yonah, it's all about tshuva. Obviously, the narrative arc of Yonah running from God and having to go prophesize to nations of the world, it requires some understanding about what's unique to that story and how that relates to Yom Kippurim. But that's a different discussion in itself. Obviously, the whole thing with the whale and being swallowed and all these things require explanation. But at the very, very end of the story, Yonah finally gets to Nineveh. Finally gets there. Okay? Paragimel. Vayihi dvar Hashem el Yonah sheinis lemor. Kum leich el Nineveh ha'ir agdola. Ukra elea esakri asher anuchi dover elecha. Go and tell them what I tell you to tell them. Vayakam Yonah vayelech al Nineveh kedvar Hashem. He goes there like God told him. Vayochel Yonah levo ba'ir. And Yonah came into the city. Vayikra vayomar. And he calls out and says, Od arbayim yom, v'Nineveh nehepaches. Nineveh will be turned over. Also an allusion to Purim. Nehepaches. The Ma'apecha. Now, here's the question. We all know how the story plays out. Did the Nevuah of Yonah Hanavi come to pass or not? When he says 40 days, he's not telling them if this, then that. He's not saying that. He's not saying, if you continue to sin, then God's going to kill all of you. He doesn't say that. He says, no. 40 days from now, Nineveh Ne'apachas. Did that happen or did it not happen?
By Nevuah in general, you see a lot of times that the Navi will tell someone the Nevuah, and then he's making that Nevuah from happening.
Okay.
So I'm saying, like, is that the call by Nevuah? Like,
typically the rule of thumb is, let's just keep it simple. Typically this is the rule of thumb. If a Navi makes an assertion, Navi can say, like, if this and this and this happens, then the result will be X, Y, and Z. That could be. But typically when a Navi says, this is what's going to happen, typically, that's what happens.
You talked to us about Navi in the past, like, over the past couple of years. I don't know when you were talking to us about Nevuah, like, how like it's come over, and you talked about it in reference to Aspaklara Mira versus
Regina Nuvua.
And the Regina Nuvua is kind of like a jigsaw puzzle type thing. I don't know exactly what you have, the words you described, but like where the Navi has to put it together.
So the point that I'm going to, so the point that, like, yes, this is true. This is true. It's true.
Together into
so that's
and it, it's a little bit of guesswork type thing.
It's connected. It's connected to that. I don't want to make this too ambiguous.
But Nepochas, okay. Potential.
Nepochas seems to have a negative connotation. And the people, when they hear this, the people of Nineveh, when they hear this, they react pretty drastically. They're like, oh my God, we gotta do something. And there's this massive tshuva. This massive tshuva that happens. So was Nineveh Nepochas or was it not Nepochas? And the answer is absolutely it was Nepochas. Absolutely it was Nepochas. Because what Yonah was saying, listen, there is going to be an upheaval here. Either it can be Nehepoches, like Kemapechas Sdom Ba'amarot Zvoyim Asher Hafach Hashem Ba'apo V'chamazo, that God overturned these cities in his wrath and anger, or there can be Anafochu. There can be Anafochu. Those are the two options. Which one do you want it to be? And indeed, there was Anafochu. Like there was Anafochu by Purim, there was Anafochu by Nineveh. There was a Nehepoches. And this is the Anafochu is that point of the decision, like we said, again, riding on the example that we used by Yosef HaTzadik. There is a moment that comes, that this is the decision, which way the thing is going to go. Do you want the Gora LaAzazel, or do you want the Gora LaHashem? You can choose. You can choose which one you want to go to. There are critical moments, okay? Critical moments. Do you want the Na'apachas to be Ma'apichas Dom Ma'amor, or do you want the Na'apachas to be like Na'afochu? And the chiddush of tshuva, and specifically the tshuva on Yom Kippurim, is that that is the critical moment. This is the moment. Yom Kippurim is that day. It's that day where you have that decision point. It's being brought upon you. This is the fork in the road. You want to go this way or that way? You want to go La'azazel or you want to go La'ashem? There is going to be a ma'apicha. There's going to be a ma'apicha, and you can choose what type of ma'apicha you want. And this is the sod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God guarantees there will be tshuva. How do I know? Because I'm going to bring a Haman. I'm going to bring around the Haman, and he's going to bring you to a point where you have to make a decision. Either you're going to go down in a ball of flame, or you're going to do tshuva. and going through the day of Yom HaKippurim, is reaching that pinnacle of intensity, and I believe that this is the main focus. This is certainly the primary focus of what's being brought about, of what's being spoken out in Sefer Yonah that we read on Yom Kippurim during Mincha, as the day is coming to a close. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to us and says, right, and saying, Ne'epochas, there's going to be a ma'apicha here. Choose what ma'apicha you want. Choose what ma'apicha you want. Each and every one of us has the ability to take on the bris of Avram Avinu. Indeed, we are commanded to take on the bris of Avram Avinu. And each one of us can be mishalech b'tmimut, can walk with God with pure simplicity, pure trust. And that trust is the ultimate paradox, because it's a hard trust. It's the trust of putting all the options into a basket and saying, Hashem, take it. Take all of it. Take it all. Okay? But then the next step is the step of agency and saying, whatever comes up, if a person decides that authentically, then whatever comes out of the basket will be his goral, and it couldn't have been any other way. But that's al tanai. It's al tanai that the person was what really went b'tmimut. He really, really went with that trust. He really went with it. And to the extent that we come to Yom HaKippurim with that tmimut, with that trust, and putting all of the gorolos back into the basket, and saying, I want everything back by you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we pick out, the goral that we pick out, will be the goral HaShem. It will be, by definition, it will be the goral HaShem. And the Azazel will go to its place. We won't have to think about it anymore. All that will be discarded. And the Seer LaHashem will be our portion. HaShem Menas Kal Kivachosi. And that is the Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, the Itzumo Shel Yom. The Itzumo Shel Yom has that power to not only give us a clean slate, That's not what we want. Clean slate is the rookie level. That's like the beginner's level. I don't want a clean slate. I want everything redeemed. Everything. From the beginning to now, I want everything reintegrated back into the program. I want everything to be the sheishas, right, the shanim that were mesudar, sheishas ma'amaisa. I want everything back in. Everything go back in. Everything. And the yitzumo shoyom is mechaper. Zdonos nazos kizchuyos. That all of the destructive actions become merits. Because they become reintegrated. They become redeemed. And this is the yitzumo shoyom mechaper. Chizkuyam is levavchem kol miyachem moshah.